What is up, and welcome back to another episode of the Wizards Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Finberg, and today we're going to talk about losses. We're going to talk about losing. We're going to talk about streaks that reference losing. It's a whole lot of losing in Washington. There's no other way to sugarcoat it, but we can have a little bit of fun. We can talk about it. We can have some dialogue about what actually has led to these losing games, this 11-game losing streak. Some positives that you can kind of take away. Obviously, a lot of negatives you're going to take away, and kind of go from there. But what I'm going to lead this show off with is Kyle Kuzma. And I think, look, I could have put this towards the end because it's all a negative, but Kuzma leading the show is kind of indicative of this season, because despite all of the youth in DC, despite the three rookies, despite Bilal Coulibaly breaking out, Jordan Poole having a phenomenal season, it seems like there's a dark cloud overshadowing, hanging over the Wizards, if you will, and his name is Kyle Kuzma, and that might sound harsh, but it's reality. And look, you know, I'm always going to keep it real. I'm going to tell you how it is. That's how it is. You know, Kyle Kuzma's a dark cloud just hovering over what could be a really fun team, raining on the parade. And that's kind of been indicative of the season. Despite all the fun that you can maybe take out of it, despite the two wins against Atlanta, you know, he's just been, you know, a damager, a damper, if you will, on the parade. You know, here's the statistic side before I get into the other side, because I have a lot to talk about this. I've been holding back, but I can go in if I want. He's averaging 17 points, 6 rebounds on the season on 42% from the field, 28.8% from three, and 66% from the line. I'm gonna read those shooting percentages off again, because if you thought I was kidding, I'm not. 42% from the field, 28.8% from three, 66% from the field. And look, this isn't some low volume of shots he's taking. He's taking 17 shots per game. Some games he'll take 28 shots, as you saw in Atlanta, and other games, like you saw tonight against the Pacers, he'll take what, 10 shots, 11 shots? It varies, but nonetheless, he's taking the most shots by far on the team. He's making only 42% of those shots, less than 30% of those shots from three, and he's only making two out of every three free throws. So your quote number one option, who's taking all these shots per game, is one of the most inefficient players in the league. Not great. And then you factor in three turnovers per game, so clearly not distributing the ball the way that he probably should, forcing it too much, forcing passes when they're not there. That sort of results in three turnovers per game. It's just, you know, I can't even defend him statistically anymore, because in the past it was, look, yeah, you know, maybe his shots are forced and he's not taking shots in the flow of the game and he's isolating too much and the offense doesn't work as well with him on the court. But look, he's averaging 20, a career high 20 points per game, and he's shooting 48% from the field, so you need to back off. That's not the case anymore, because the statistics don't back him up anymore. He's not playing well statistically. And then don't even get me started on the eye test, because when you look at it, the offense without him, the vibes, just the vibes without him on the court, are so much better, so much higher. And like I said, when he comes in the game, it seems like he's a dark cloud hovering over this team. That's the statistics side. So you can't even back him on there. But let's get into the poor attitude that I've seen. Let's get into the, you know, him looking checked out on the bench, how he's acted in post-game medias. Let's get into that, because I've held back all year, but it's something I've noticed from afar, and I'd like to talk about it today. Here's a few examples of what I've seen. After the game in Houston, where the Wizards really weren't competitive, I think they ended up losing by double digits. Kyle Kuzma was sat, and I don't know who sent this picture to me, but somebody sent it to me, so shout out to you. You know who you are. But they sent this picture to me. It was, you know, towards the end of the game. The Wizards were down, what, like 8 or 9 points, about 50 seconds left. You know, the end of the bench guys are in and they're still competing. And you got every single person on the Wizards bench, the starters, whoever's not in the game, standing up towards the baseline, rooting for their teammates. And then you look over at the other bench, the other side of the bench. It's the whole coaching staff plus Kyle Kuzma just sitting there, looking checked out, looking deflated, not looking like a team player rooting for the guys that have rooted him on the entire game. That seems like a guy that's not in tune with the rest of the guys, that's not the leader that he said he would be, and it's the guy that just looks dejected and not cheering for the teammates that I said cheered him on. Again, not a good look for somebody who's wanted to be a leader and a number one option on this team. Another thing, post game after the Atlanta Hawks game, the Wizards go into Atlanta. They go up 10 at the end of the first quarter, and then I think they got outscored. It was like 55-20 over the next like couple quarters. Just not even competitive. Get blown out in Atlanta. Kyle Kuzma shoots nearly 30 times. He goes 11 of 28 from the field. And look, it's Kyle Kuzma said post game, if I had made three more shots, fans wouldn't be crying if I shot 50%. No, you could have gone 17 of 28. You took 30 shots. You should never be taking 30 shots. You should be passing the ball. Other people need no chances as well. You're forcing shots, and you made a couple, but they weren't in rhythm. They weren't quality shots, and your percentage reflected that. So let's not talk about that. And then you go to what he said post game, and a quote is bad. You know it ruffles some people's feathers. Even especially, a tweet is bad and ruffles someone's feathers. When you tweet it, and after about 10 minutes, there's 29 quote tweets and 2 likes. And that was the case for my guy Varun from the Washington Post. Not anything of his fault. He was just tweeting out the quote, but he tweeted out a quote from Kyle Kuzma that I'm about to read. It had 30 quote tweets from Wizards fans and 2 likes, which that kind of shows you right there that it didn't really, make people happy. Kyle Kuzma was asked about the 28 shots that he took, okay? And this was his response. I had to quote, "I had a good rhythm today, just missed a couple layups. Make a couple layups and you're at 50%. Then nobody talks about it. It doesn't really matter, you know?" Qu end of quote. It doesn't really matter? Look, I get it. You're at that point, what, 2-8? 2-9 maybe? You've lost 7 straight games. You're not supposed to be competitive at all. But it doesn't matter that you shot poorly, or what do you, it doesn't matter that you lost the game. Like, what doesn't matter in this case? I don't understand what doesn't matter. You're an NBA player. You're getting paid $23 million to go out there and play basketball, and you don't care if you win or lose. Look, it's fine. It's one thing for the fans to actively root for you to lose, but for you to go out there and say, "Look, we lost. I don't really care." That. You can think that. I'm sure a lot of the Wizards players are like, "Yeah, we lost, whatever." You don't say that. That's bad. That's a bad look for a guy that's supposed to be the leader of this team, the number one option. It doesn't matter that you shot poorly. It doesn't matter what that you lost the game. Bad look. Again, looks like somebody that's checked out that doesn't really give a, you know what about if they win or lose, which shouldn't be the case. You should, no matter if you're tagging or not, you should go out there if you're playing and try to compete. Build good habits. And for the leader, quote unquote, on the team to say that, it really rubbed me the wrong way. And it rubbed clearly a lot of Wizards fans the wrong way, because the amount of quote tweets to the ratio of quote tweets to likes really stands out for you there. And then another quote or that caught my eye was after the game against Boston. Look, the Wizards had, a couple games where they didn't compete. Their defense was atrocious. Brian Keefe called the team out, right? And they responded. They lost by double digits to Boston, but it really was close throughout the entire game. The Wizards were down 2 points with 4 minutes left in the fourth. They competed. They played really well on defense, but they lost to the defending champs, the best team in the league, pretty much. And that happens. But that's what you call a moral victory, a quality loss, if you will. They competed. But look, this is a quote. After the game, Kyle Kuzma wasn't bad. I thought he was pretty efficient. I forget what he shot, but I remember he wasn't. He wasn't terrible against Boston, but this is the quote that caught my eye. I think he was. I believe he was asked about the role change. I think this is also a question from Varun. I think he was asked about his change in role, maybe taking a little bit less shots compared to what he did against Atlanta, and this was his response. Quote: "I mean, the role doesn't change. Even the role. I'm sorry. Let me restart that because I clearly can't read." Quote: "I mean, the role change doesn't even matter. Honestly, it's just basketball. So I'm good regardless, and this game doesn't even matter. I'm not really results driven." End of quote. Again, this game doesn't even matter. Like, right after you said it doesn't really matter in Atlanta, like, look, don't say that. It's one thing, like I said, to think it. I'm sure every Wizards player is thinking it, but you don't say that. "Oh, we lost to Boston. Yeah, I don't really give a shit. It's basketball. We're supposed to lose 70 games this season. I'm just, I'm coming out here because that's what I'm paid to do." You might as well go out and say that, because that's how it fucking sounds. And excuse me for my language, but I'm pretty pissed off because you got your number one option here getting paid $25 million this season, who clearly doesn't have it, clearly came unprepared to training camp, was out of shape, and used preseason to get back in shape. He brought the ball 5 times in the preseason. 5 times. That's not somebody that came prepared. That's somebody that doesn't have their legs. That's somebody that is out of shape and that didn't work hard in the offseason to get to where he needs to be to start the year. He was really bad the first 3 games of the season, then went to Atlanta and popped off. He kind of got his bearings, and then he gets injured. He comes back, and the Wizards, not that he's the reason they're losing, but again, yet to win a game since he's come back. So clearly he doesn't make too much of a difference. But I'm sorry, that just rubs me the wrong way. You have your, quote, number one option, making $25 million per season, coming out here after multiple games, multiple losses on an 11-game losing streak and going, saying it doesn't matter. Basically, I don't give a shit that we lost. Who cares? We're supposed to suck. That's a terrible look. And look, when you're getting paid the big bucks and you're coming out here, as this number one option, taking minutes away from younger guys like Keyshawn George, taking the most shots on the team, 28 in Atlanta, and you're coming out and you got this attitude, you look checked out, you came to camp and came to the preseason out of shape and unprepared, and now you're going to come out here multiple times and say that the wins and losses don't matter. I couldn't care less. That's inherently frustrating, and I can see not only it's me, like I'm just now kind of coming around to being, pretty ticked off. The Wizards fan base, and if you think I'm being harsh on Kyle Kuzma right now, look at some of these tweets. And I'm not going to repeat some of them because if you look at my comments, like I can't even like the stuff that people are commenting. It's so bad. And I'm never going to promote any of that because I think, he's a player. Keep it strictly basketball. But you can clearly see from the tweets and from Wizards Twitter, they've turned on him. He's gone from this number three option alongside Beal and KP that, is a good 3-and-D player, gives maximum effort, really wants to see this thing turned around after a fresh start in Washington, to a guy that the fan base has turned on. They want to get him to get traded. They want more minutes for the younger guys, and they're just done. And honestly, you know what? I don't blame him one bit. I don't. I'm not going to harp too much on this, but I needed to rant a little bit at the beginning of the show because it's something, it wasn't just the performance. I get it. Sometimes shots aren't going to go in. It was those post-game comments that kind of irked me and made me want to say something because that it rubbed me the wrong way. Losing sucks already, but to have your top player come out here and say that it doesn't matter, I don't care about if we win or lose, pretty much. Again, that's frustrating. So I'm going to move on, but that's my thoughts on Kyle Kuzma. On a more positive note, his counterpart, Jordan Poole, is having a phenomenal season, both on and off the court in terms of his leadership and in terms of his stats. Let's talk about his counting stats real quick. Through, I believe, what the Wizards are 2-13, Jordan Poole just missed that game. So through 14 games for Jordan Poole, 21.2 points per game, 5 assists per game, 45% from the field, 44% from three on a high volume as well. I think six to seven threes a game. And 89% from the free throw line. So you're looking at a near 45, 45, 90 season from Jordan Poole. Pretty much a year removed from Wizards fans wanting to trade him and, Wes Unseld Jr. trying to play him like he's Klay Thompson when he's not Klay Thompson at all. And now O'Brien keeps putting him on ball. Now he's shooting the ball well. He's passing the ball well. I would like to see the turnovers go down a little bit, but I want to keep it positive. And that's not even talking about his defense. Let's go into his defense real quick. We can talk about the counting stats, 1.9 steals per game, top five in the league. But he meets the eye test as well. Like he's giving maximum effort. He's fighting over screens. He's being really decisive when to reach, when not to reach. He's getting some really like I don't even like high IQ steals in terms of like just reaching at the right time, plucking the ball away when the guy's not looking. In transition the other night against Boston, he had a nice strip steal. I think it was Jrue Holiday was on the break and it was basically 1-on-2 and Poole somehow ripped the ball away. It's not just the 1.9 steals, but like he meets the eye test. He's a better defender this year. And by no means is he elite. By no means is he elite. But he's solid and he holds his own. And that's all you can ask. Same thing for Corey Kispert. He's had a really bad year defensively. But again, all you ask for a guy like that is, look, you're not going to be a great defender. You're not the most athletic guy, but at least hold your own, be in the right spots and give maximum effort. And you're seeing that from Jordan Poole this year and then some. So that's been really great, apart from just the offense. And then let's talk about the leadership role, because it seems like he's taken the rooks under his wing. Keyshawn George, especially Keyshawn and Bob, I would assume because they're guards and he's around them more, but Alex Saar as well, in terms of putting his arm around him, making sure he's in the right spots. It's nice to see, Jordan Poole's only 25. He's only been in the league, what, 5, 6 years? He's still really young, but on a young team like this, he's a vet, and he's acting like it. He shows like he really wants to make this work, and he wants to be the guy that makes it work. And it's really encouraging to see that, just 25 years old, he's mature enough to realize that. And it seems like the younger guys have taken a big liking to JP as well. You see it from all the posts they make on IG, the comments they have to each other on their posts. Like for older people, not trying to call you old, but like that might not seem like a lot, but to my younger generation people, the way you interact on social media, especially with teammates, it's pretty telling. Because you don't have to comment things, you don't have to like and repost people's things. You can just pretend you didn't see it. But they're active in the comment section. They're hyping each other up, and that's obviously cool to see. It shows that the culture is kind of there. It shows that everyone kind of likes each other. That's always good, especially when you consider, 2 years ago, Wes Unser Jr. was the coach, lost the locker room pretty early. You had KCP punching Montrezl Harrell, whatever happened there. A bunch of midseason trades because Kyle Kuzma hated Dinwiddie and KCP hated Dinwiddie and Trez. And that's not the case anymore. It's a bunch of young guys that are looking to compete. And Jordan Poole's kind of leading that group, and that's been really cool to see. So cannot stress enough how impressed I've been. Definitely got to be in the MIP most improved player conversation, in Jordan Poole. Because the turnaround he's had from last season to this season has been pretty impressive. So going off of the downside with Kuzma, it's nice to talk a little bit positively about Jordan Poole and the season he's having. Here is another dilemma. And look, I usually do these episodes in terms of going game by game, but look, I could literally just be like, they lost. This is who played well. They lost. This is who they played well. They keep losing. And I don't want to talk about that. I kind of want to talk about some bigger picture things. And that's kind of why I started with Kuz, went to Poole. And now I'm going to bring it to a big debate I've seen on Wizards Twitter, especially with the introduction of Malcolm Brogdon back into the lineup. And that's rookies being benched for veterans. It's a debate that I knew would happen. And if you listen to my preseason pod with my brother, the question that was asked was, what is the one thing you're least looking forward to this year? And my comment was veterans playing more than the rookies. Because I knew it would happen. I knew I wouldn't, I couldn't be mad at it happening, but I knew I would be frustrated that it happened. I knew Wizards fans would be frustrated that it happened. And it's happening, lo and behold. I mean, Jonas Valanciunas has started a couple games, whereas Alex Carr kind of has to either play the four, which I don't like him playing, or, maybe has to go to the bench, which you don't like to see, and not play as much. You got, obviously, recently, Malcolm Brogdon coming back from injury the last three games, well, four games, starting the last three. Meaning Bob Carrington moves to the bench. You got Kyle Kuzma coming back from injury, meaning Keyshawn George is relegated to the bench, takes a lot less shots. Same with Bob. And that's not fun. It's one thing if that was happening the entire season, but when you give, Wizards fans 5 to 6 games of all three rookies starting alongside Bilal and Poole, and like they're playing well. I mean, they beat Atlanta back-to-back games, and then you rip it from them and you say, hey, that was fun. But here's another 35 games. I'm going to shove it down your throat of Malcolm Brogdon, 31-year-old Brogdon, 30-plus-year-old Jonas Valanciunas, 28-year-old Kyle Kuzma. I mean, fuck it. They threw Anthony Gill in the game today against Indiana because why not? Who cares if you have a 25-year-old Marvin Bagley or a 29-year-old or whatever he is, Rashawn Holmes on your bench? Here's 30-whatever-year-old Anthony Gill to solve your problems in the front court. Again, that's inherently frustrating for Wizards fans, especially when they got the sample size of how fun the rookies could be. And now you got to revert to, Malcolm Brogdon's playing well, and Valanciunas is obviously playing well. You even have spurts of Kyle Kuzma being the best player on the floor. But Wizards fans are sitting there with the who did it, the Mike Tomlin meme. They're just sitting like, we do not care. We do not care. They don't care because those guys are going to be gone by February. They know they're not part of the rebuild, and they got to sit here and pretend they are. They got to sit here and pretend that they're happy for those guys to have success because they could eventually trade them. And look, that's great, but do you want a fan base to be sitting there rooting for second round picks the entire year? Because that's what you're going to get. You might be able to get one first round pick for Kyle Kuzma, but that's it. Good luck getting a first round pick for Jonas Valanciunas from any team other than the Lakers if they're desperate. And Malcolm Brogdon at 31 with all the injuries he's had, you think you can get a first? By all means, if you think that's ha that can happen, play him 45 minutes a game. But I don't see it, especially after the Tyus Jones debacle at last year's deadline. It's pretty tough to sit here and tell your fans, look, sit back and let the old guys play over the young guys because we're going to get picks for them. When you didn't get anything for Shamet, you got nothing for Tyus Jones, they walked for free. And the only guy you traded was your, what, 26-year-old center in Daniel Gafford, which worked out because you did get Keyshawn George. You got another, Rashawn Holmes in that deal. But again, you're not playing Holmes. So it gets to the point where a fan base gets tired of it. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that the Wizards are wrong. I'm all for Will Dawkins, putting down the word to Brian Keefe, you need to play these guys. I want to trade them. After February and the deadline, we're kind of past the phase of that veterans playing thing that's been the last 2 years of this rebuild. Let's go. Let's play the young guys and let's move forward. And it's tough to sell that to a fan base for the next 3 months. That is our number one, already went through it last year and kind of saw it fail and put right back in their face. But again, a fan base that has been starving for success since what, 2018 when they made the playoffs? Honestly, 2017 when they last had a realistic shot of winning and made the second round. It's tough. But look, I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's the wrong decision because it's not. It's the right decision. It's just frustrating, and Wizards fans have every right to be frustrated. I'm going to still watch every game, but again, I don't blame people for, checking out until February when the younger guys play, because it's hard to sell that product. It's hard to sell 31-year-old Malcolm Brogdon and Valanciunas and all these veterans. When you have all these young guys you could be playing, these more exciting guys you could be playing. And you're choosing not to play them as much because you want to shop those guys. You want to build their trade value. So again, I've seen it. I think Wizards fans are smart enough to realize it's the right move. But again, it is frustrating. Just wait. I'll say this. Wait until February. I guarantee you Valanciunas and Brogdon are shopped to the fullest extent. And I guarantee you that Kyle Kuzma is shopped as well. Even guys like, and this is what I don't understand. And I tweeted this out today. You saw Anthony Gill playing some minutes against Indiana. You have Marvin Bagley, like you started him a bunch last year after the trade. You have Rashawn Holmes, who you extended this season or this offseason when you could have just declined his option and let him walk, but you kept him. And I only thought, I could my only thought at that time was, okay, maybe you're trying to trade him. Are you going to play him a bunch? And you didn't. So again, I'm a little confused there, because why would I trade for Rashawn Holmes that I haven't seen play real minutes in months? I don't know why I'd do that. Same with Marvin Bagley. So look, if you're gonna shop anyone, if you're gonna give those minutes to somebody, why give it to a guy like Anthony Gill that nobody wants? If the whole goal is to shop people, these veterans that you want to trade, give young guys playing time, why don't you shop a guy like Holmes that has a lot more potential value than Gill? Bagley that has a lot more value than Gill. But you choose not to. And that was a little head scratching. But again, rookies being benched for vets, it sucks. It sucks. It sucks. But it's the right decision. And I'm fully aware of that. I fully support the fact that they're doing that because I think the Wizards kind of have one more year of this. And once February passes, it'll be a lot more fun, a lot more losing, but a lot more fun to watch these games because they'll have some stake in it, with the guys that are playing, wanting to see them succeed for the long haul. Not just vets playing to get moved to a contender. So that's kind of my thought process on that kind of debate. And now we get into the bigger picture. We get into what is currently happening, and that is the Wizards are on an 11-game losing streak. And look, if you were to give this losing streak to me a couple years ago, I would, everyone would be in full panic mode. What is happening? Who needs to be fired and when? Who needs to be traded and when? We need to have a fire sale, all that. I mean, if you remember, I think they lost 10 games in a row that 1 year that they started very well. They definitely did one of the last, years that they were still trying to compete under Wes Unseld Jr., even when Tommy Shepard was the GM. And that was a panic, a huge panic from the Wizards after that. But this is different. And that's because, look, Wizards fans want to lose. The tank, for all the Wizards are the worst team in the league. Yeah, by design, they're trying to lose. And it's one thing to try to be, really good and suck. It's another thing to try to be really bad and like not be too bad to like get the player. That's the Brooklyn Nets right now. Like, I don't know what they're doing. They really don't own many of their picks. They have a couple coming in from some of the KD trades. Some of the big time trades that they made with Harden, KD, and all that. But like, they have a bunch of solid players. They're not going to be, good enough to compete. They might not even make the play-in. But again, they're nowhere near bad enough to bottom out. At least the Wizards are
successfully tanking. I mean, they're 2-13 for crying out loud. They've lost 11 straight games, none of which have really been particularly close, unless, except for the last two. And they're probably gonna win, or sorry, they're probably gonna lose every single game in November. I mean, they had a winless February last year that I thought was hilarious. They're about to have a winless November, and I can actually pull up the schedule real quick because I honestly I was looking into the Wizards schedule for November, and there's no way that I can really find a win. I did this like last week, and I was like, maybe they beat Detroit and they got manhandled by the Pistons, and then I was like, okay, maybe they can steal one, in Indiana. They have been playing well, and they were competitive, but not even close. And now they have three games left in the month. They have home against Chicago, home against the Clippers, second night of back to back, and then at Milwaukee. The at Milwaukee is a blowout loss. They're going to get dominated by Giannis and Dame. Not even close. So you think the real chance to strike would be Chicago at home. But the Bulls are actually, their record's deceptive. They're playing really well. And I think the Bulls are going to dominate the Wizards. I think the Wizards are going to lose to Chicago. And then the second night of a back to back against LA. The Clippers are like fourth or fifth in the West. They're playing very well. And I don't know, they have a bunch of, veterans who will play, who won't play. But I think that's another loss. And then once it happens, you get to Milwaukee, you lose, and that's a winless November. So they're just kind of checking off the months that they don't win a game. And look, that would make 15, sorry, that would make 14 straight losses, not winning a game in November. That would put the Wizards at 2-16. And honestly, who cares? It's again, like I always say, it's not that they're losing, it's how they're losing. And the last, couple of games prior to Boston and Indiana, they were losing in blowouts. They weren't competitive, they weren't defending. But the last two games, they kind of were competitive all the way up until the end, just got beat by a superior team. And those are the losses that you can be okay with. Now we'll see if that continues, but at the end of the day, like, they are what they are. They're supposed to be bad, and they're pretty successful at being bad. So if you are a Wizards fan, you can't be mad, honestly. Like, they're trying to tank and they're really good at it, apparently. So, what's to be upset about? And if you look at the big picture, and this is what I also wanted to talk about, kind of give you a lay of the land, per se. This is the league-wide tanking outlook. This is a new segment on the show that I'm going to probably do probably once every 2 to 3 weeks. I don't want to spam it and update it too much, but this is a new segment on the show that I'm titling the league-wide tanking outlook. And this is a rundown of the bottom five teams, basically four teams that the Wizards are competing against. And these are the four teams that you're going to be, apart from wanting the Wizards to lose, you're going to be rooting for these other teams to win, kind of distance themselves, get away from the Wizards, solidify the Wizards as the worst team in the league. And there's one team in here, actually two teams realistically, that I'm not too concerned about, but are surprises here. You got the Wizards as the worst team in the league at 2-13, losers of 11 straight. You have the Philadelphia 76ers, surprising enough, a team that's, quote, all in at 3-13, just lost by 28 at home to the Clippers without Embiid and Paul George, obviously. But they're 3-13. You have the New Orleans Pelicans, surprising, 4-13, losers of four straight games. They are depleted. And look, this is why I'm not concerned about these two teams being in here, because once Philly gets Embiid back and PG back, and if they stay healthy, they're going to make a little bit of a run. They're going to figure it out, and they're going to, distance themselves pretty easily from the Wizards. And the Pelicans as well. I mean, Murray broke his hand game one. McCollum's hurt. Brandon Ingram just got back from injury. Zion's out indefinitely. They are really injured. But once they get healthy, you'll never know. Maybe they can make it back. Definitely won't be in the bottom. You have Toronto as well, who, again, expected. I don't know what they're doing. They have Barnes and Quickley and Barrett that they've given great money to. And then they have a bunch of rookies like Grady Dick, who's playing really well. But at the end of the day, like, they're really not doing anything, and I think they'll be in the bottom of the barrel as well. And then you have Utah, who just won against New York at home. They're going to win some games throughout the season, but they're 4-12 as well. Toronto, by the way, 4-13. So the Wizards are, there's a game and a half separating them and Utah right now, with the Wizards having played one less game. But that's kind of it. And then you look up. I mean, Charlotte's got six wins. Detroit, Chicago, Portland, Brooklyn, Indiana, Atlanta have 7 wins. Like, that's kind of the echelon of teams that are pretty mid and aren't going to do anything, but also aren't going to be the worst. And that's kind of good for the Wizards to see these teams stacking wins. And then you kind of have that bottom of the barrel where I think New Orleans and Philly are going to escape, and you might have a bottom three contest of Washington, Utah, and Toronto. And I'm taking the Wizards to win that any day of the week to be the worst team in the league. So look, I don't think you're going to have any issues. I think the Wizards are going to be the worst team. I think they're going to have, the best odds of the number one pick, will tie with the other two teams, but also would solidify, same thing with Detroit last year, the farthest that they can fall is 5. And in a draft that's so top heavy and so, I wouldn't say top heavy, but so good at the top where, you can get one. Obviously, Cooper Flagg is great. Ace Bailey is great. But you can fall to 5. You can still get a Dylan Harper, who is phenomenal. You can still get a Nolan Treyer, who is phenomenal. You can still get so many great quality players that, being the worst team this year isn't as bad as it was last year. And that's kind of what the kind of tanking outlook. That's the segment, the league-wide tanking outlook. That is where the Wizards, stand. And look, checking back in, I'm probably recording another pod after 3 games. The Wizards are going to be sat at 2-16, I would assume, 14-game losing streak. And they should have a decent distance on some of those other teams. So, for all my people that were in my DMs telling me the Wizards are too good at 2-2, I'd like you to come back and tell me that I was right for telling you you're delusional, this team is terrible, and they, winning a couple games here and there isn't going to hurt at all. And clearly that's the case. They're about to be 2-13, they're 2-13, going to be even worse, going to lose probably all games in November. So, nothing to worry about there. Circling back to the 11 game losing streak, and this will be the final thing I talk about today. Two things can be true. The losing streak is great for the tank, and the Wizards are playing horrible basketball and building bad habits on this losing streak. And the last 2 games have kind of been a little different. They've been playing better, but you want to lose, obviously. It's great, but you want to lose the right way. You want to be competitive. You want to build good habits. And before the last 2 games, I didn't see that. And it's been a little bit of a different story. Credit to Brian Keith, who called this team out publicly in his presser. And they seem to kind of take it to heart to respond and play a lot tougher defense these last 2 outings against Boston and Indiana. And they lost both games by double digits, which kind of shows you how low the bar is. I mean, the bar is pretty much at the floor right now for the Wizards. If they're, the bar even exists, then the bar might not even exist. It's so low, it's underground. But that's what I'm picking off as some positives, because Brian Keefe called his team out after some really bad defense, and they responded, which kind of shows me that, look, and this might even be reaching, but maybe Brian Keefe has a pulse on this group. Maybe he has the respect of the team. Maybe when he speaks, they listen and they respect what he says. And that's always great to see. Especially on a rebuilding team, it's tough to keep, preaching all of these things as a coach when you're losing and losing and losing. But it seems like he kind of has that pulse on the team, has the respect, and that's always nice to see, especially from a first-year head coach. So look, that's going to do it for this episode of the Wizards podcast. Talked a lot. I mean, I ranted for a bit about Kyle Kuzma because I had some stuff I just had to get off my chest. I would assume a lot of you guys agree with me. And I feel like I kind of hopefully explained it in a way that wasn't too harsh, but just kind of took what I saw and put it into words, took that frustration into words. Talked about Jordan Poole playing really well. I didn't touch on Bilal Coulibaly, but I mean, I tweeted it out. There was a sequence against Indiana. He had 2 blocks on the same possession. I think he had 17, like 6 and 5 on like 9 shots. Another efficient night. I'd like to see him shoot a lot more. I think Wizards fans would too. But he's been phenomenal. Alex Saar against Indiana, 17 points, 14 rebounds, career high for all the people that are coming at him in my comments telling him, get your, 7 foot butt on the glass and rebound. He's in the paint. He was rebounding. He only took 4 threes. He's doing it, on the inside. He was 7 of 15, so an efficient shooting night as well. 2 blocks, 1 steal. He was great. Quiet night for Bob Carrington. But Keyshawn George, I think, had what, 15 as well. So, in bigger playing time, he kind of showed out when he started. So, not a bad loss to Indiana. You were competitive and against an Indiana team that's fallen off this year, and they're kind of trying to figure it out. But You know, competitive the last two games, 11 game losing streak. Call it what it is. This team's tanking and they're tanking really successfully. So you can't be too mad. You know, the bigger the losing streak, the better. And I never thought I'd say that. And like I said, the bar is underground. It's so low. But that's where we are. We might as well have fun with it. We might as well be honest with ourselves. The bigger the losing streak, the better. And I don't think you're going to have any problems extending this losing streak. And I don't even know. Let me actually look that up before I end the show, because I think this is good common knowledge considering where the Wizards are. I'm looking up right now, longest losing streak. It's 28 games by the Pistons, tied with the Philadelphia 76ers. So the Pistons, I think this last year, where they lost 28 straight games. You know, Kuzma tweeted, it's like, don't be that team. And then we ended up not breaking the streak, but we lost to the Pistons later that year. And you kind of sit here as the Wizards, and it's like, look, I don't think they're going to get to that at all. I don't really think it'll be close, but I mean, let me pull a look at their schedule actually to see if it really could. And look, I don't even know why I'm doing this, because like every team is better than the Wizards, so like they technically should lose every game. But like I said, you know, Chicago, LA, Milwaukee, I think they'll lose. At Cleveland, loss. Home versus Dallas, loss. Home versus Denver, loss. Home versus Memphis, loss. Could win at home versus Charlotte. They've been playing a lot better, but that could be a win, and that might end the losing streak at what? That would be 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. I could see the losing streak getting up to 18 games before they beat Charlotte. And if they don't, they're in trouble because they're at Milwaukee, at Oklahoma City. They're home again against Charlotte. Yeah, so they shouldn't get swept at home against Charlotte. They should win both those games. They got a pair against New York, Chicago, home and home against New Orleans. So like their schedule is not, you know, a gauntlet per se, but when you're the worst team in the game, it's like every game is a gauntlet. So that's kind of, you know, where you're going to leave it here. 11 game losing streak, 2-13, worst team in the league by far. Saw some good, saw some bad. But at the end of the day, they're tanking and they're doing it successfully. So really can't fault them for that. That's gonna do it for this episode of the Wizards Podcast. Again, I appreciate all you guys for tuning in. I'd ideally like to get a lot more of these out, but I don't want to talk about they lost. Here's what happened. They lost. Here's what happened. I think I'd rather wait and do maybe one every like 7 to 8 days, recapping bigger picture, you know, frustrations, ideas, storylines like we did in this episode. I think that's more fun and more productive as well. So again, thank you all for tuning in. It means the world to me. That's going to do it for this episode. Appreciate all for listening. Go Wiz.